Our scripture lesson for the morning is found in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 14 through 25. They read thus, "For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.'" The word of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Come now, O Lord, in power and in might. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning to you. A wonderful word of thanks for your invitation to return again. Thanks to my wonderful host last night, Pam and Tom Terp. Good to see Dr. Snyder again, and also the chaplain, Reverend Johnson. Thank you. What are you afraid of? In the biblical text that I've just read in your hearing, there are 3 people on the receiving end of money. Although the scriptures say talents, we know that in biblical times, a talent was a measure of money. One person received 5 talents, another person received 2 talents, a third person received 1 talent. According to some estimates, 1 talent was the equivalent of 15 years of a laborer's wages. 1 talent was equal to 15 years of a laborer's wages. So you can see all 3 people in the text have been given a substantial sum of money for the purpose of putting it to use in their master's absence, investing it, doing something with it to increase its value. The person who received 5 talents, he went immediately to put his master's money to work. The person who received 2 talents went immediately to put his master's money to work. But the person who received 1 talent, he dug a hole and buried his master's money in the heart of the earth. After a while, the Lord, the master of those servants, returned and called upon them to give an account of what they had done with that which had been given to them for a season. And that's what I want us to know this morning. It does not matter what you have, what you know, where you've been, it's only yours for a season. And one day we will all have to stand before God and give an account of our stewardship. Well, the person who received 5 talents, when his master returned, he was happy to make his report. When you've done your best, you don't mind making your report. It's said, Master, you gave me 5 talents. I'm happy to report to you today that I have increased them to 10. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. The one who received the 2 talents, he stepped forward, said, Master, you gave me 2. I'm happy to report to you today that I have increased them to 4. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Do you get the drift of the text? It does not matter how much they had been given, as long as they did the best they could with what they had. They received the same words of commendation from their master. Well done, good and faithful servant. But the one who had received the 1 talent, he started scratching where he was not itching, and he was grinning like a Cheshire cat, and nothing was funny. And instead of moving toward his master to make his report, he started to do the back step. Well, Lord, I knew what kind of man you are, and because of the kind of man you are, I didn't do anything with what you gave me. Here it is, just like you gave it to me, with a little dirt on it. No well done, no good and faithful servant. Why? Because fear caused him to act irresponsibly with that which had been entrusted to him for a season. He said it. He said, I was afraid. Fear caused him to act irresponsibly with that which had been entrusted to him for a season. Now, I suppose it is possible for us to look at this person with 1 talent and say, oh, how silly, how foolish, how irrational, how illogical for him to be afraid simply because he had only 1 talent. But before we pronounce judgment upon this person with 1 talent, I need to tell us something. That the Lord Jesus told this parable of the talents because he wants us to recognize that that person with 1 talent is us. And we are that person. And I know, I hear some of you saying, oh no, preacher, I'm the one with 5. God has been good to me and I've used. No, that's not why Jesus told the parable. And I hear some of you saying, well, I'm the one with 2. I don't have as many talents as some people in Epworth, but child, what the Lord gave me, I don't know. That's not why he told this parable. Jesus told this parable because he wants us to recognize that that person with 1 talent is us. And we are that person. In what sense? In the sense that we all have only 1 talent? No, not in that sense. Too many gifted and bright people in here this morning for that. Not in that sense. Well, in what sense? In this sense. That from time to time in all our lives, we become afraid of something. From time to time in all our lives, we become afraid of something. It may yet reside in the inner recesses of our hearts. It may yet to be revealed publicly, but from time to time in all our lives, we become afraid of something. Something that keeps us from being all that God would have us to be. Something that keeps us from coming to maturity in the faith. Something that keeps us from using all that God has so graciously bestowed upon us. From time to time, in all our lives, we become afraid of something. Well, what are we afraid of? Well, some people are afraid of the past. There is some unfortunate incident, some error, some mistake in judgment, some word spoken, some deed done that they wish they could call back. And out of fear that it will see the light of day, sometimes people live in fear of their past. May I say to us, for people who live in fear of their past or people who live in fear of being exposed, don't be too harsh on those people. For it is Longfellow who reminds all of us that we all live in haunted houses. So some people are afraid of the past. And then some people are afraid of the present right now. People who've borne their burdens in the heat of the day, people for whom life has not been easy, people who have struggled by the sweat of their brow to get to where they are in life today, if they are not careful, they can find themselves living in fear of right now. Langston Hughes said, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. Sometimes when life has been hard and you've had to work and struggle, you can find yourself living in fear of right now. I just have this uneasy feeling that something is going to come out of the blue and take away all that I've worked so hard in my life to attain. And in this day of cutbacks and layoffs and pink slips and reductions in force and stagnant economy, it is possible sometimes to live in fear of right now. And then some people live in fear of tomorrow. Senior citizens, even though they've trusted God all their lives, if they are not careful, when they come to their twilight years, they can find themselves living in fear of what tomorrow may bring. Oh Lord, will my health hold out? Will I be able to stay in my right mind? Will I become a burden to my children? Will they have to put me in a nursing home somewhere? Oh God, will they have to break my door down and find me sprawled out on the floor somewhere? God, what will my end be? From time to time in all our lives, we become afraid of something that keeps us from being all that God would have us to be, keeps us from using all that God has so graciously bestowed upon us. What do we fear? What do we fear? We fear sickness. We fear loneliness. We fear disease. We fear death. We fear terror from time to time in all our lives. We become afraid of something. John Calvin, the Protestant reformer, said our minds are factories of fear. Calvin said our minds just crank out stuff for us to worry about it. I don't know how he knew it, but Mark Twain said, you've heard it before, I'll repeat it. Mark Twain said, 90% of the stuff we worry about never happens. 90% of the stuff we worry about never happens. Of course, Cleo LaRue said the 10% that does happen is enough to kill you, so worry about that. But things we worry about. And whatever we fear in here will eventually manifest itself in our lives some kind of way. Whatever we are afraid of in here, it shows up in our lives some kind of way. Sometimes what we fear shows up in our lives as a loss of direction. Remember, the person with five went this way, the person with two went this way, the person with one went this way. Sometimes we're down because we put ourselves down. We lose our sense of direction because of fear. How many times have you heard a person say, you know, I want to try my hand at this, but I'm afraid if I go in that direction, it might not work out. You know, I aspire to achieve certain things out of life, and I'd like to go in this direction, but it might not come to fruition, and then the people will laugh. Oh, I'd like to do this and go in this direction, but it might not work out, and then I will come to failure. Because of what we fear, sometimes it causes us to lose our sense of direction. Sometimes what we fear causes us to lose our sense of verb and vitality. Our get up and go has gotten up and gone. There is no fire in the belly. There is no can-do spirit. That great gospel singer Mahalia Jackson used to sing a song that said, standing here wondering which way to go. So much confusion in this world below. Sometimes there are those who say, preacher, every time I try to move forward with my life, the dead hand of the past just slaps me back, and I find myself stuck in a rut, unable to break free from my past. Sometimes what we fear causes us to lose our verve and vitality, gusto in life. Gusto is not just for beer drinkers. And I don't have anything against beer drinkers, but God wants God's children to have gusto. Sometimes what we fear creates in us an overwhelming feeling of inadequacy. I've actually heard some people say, preacher, every time I look around and see how good God has been to others, what they have, what they know, where they've been, what they've been exposed to, the blessings they've had in their lives. I look in my little life and I say to God, God, I feel like you cheated me Because when I look and see how good you have been to others, sometimes I feel like I don't have what it takes to make it in this life. Fear keeps us from coming into all that God would have us to be. I do not have all the answers to those fears that plague us, but I do want to point us in the right direction to overcoming some of those fears as I prepare to take my seat. Sometimes fear can cause us to lose out on the benefits that God has for us. Causes us to be cheated in our lives. You know, this person with one talent was doing all right until the day he remembered there was a person out there with twice as much as he had. And I need not tell you what he said the day he remembered there was a person out there with five times as much as he had. He said, oh my God, I might as well hang it up. There's a person out there with five times as much. Whenever we start to think of ourselves as little and insignificant, we are headed down mess up road. There is not a person living to whom God has not given something. You may not be able to sing like an angel, and you may not be able to preach like Paul, but God has given you something to function with, and God is looking to you to make your contribution to the human situation. And there is one thing no one can beat you doing, and that is your best. When you've done your best, that's all God requires, your best. And let me tell you something else about God. God never gives anything everything. God always saves a little bit for you and a little bit for me. God never gives anything everything. If you don't believe me, just look at nature. Look at the peacock strutting and preening in full plumage. Look at that peacock with that wonderful sun-crowned head and that colorful tail span and that mighty strut. Look at the peacock. You could look at the peacock and say, my God, God gave the peacock everything. But oh no, just keep looking. Look past that sun-crowned head. Look past that colorful tail span. Look past that mighty strut and look down at those feet. And you'll see some of the dirtiest, rustiest, scratched up feet. Say, oh no, God didn't give the peacock everything. God always saves a little bit for you and for me. And all you wonderful people of Epworth, we could come to such peace and contentment in our lives if we could just recognize that I am where I'm supposed to be. And I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with what the Master has granted unto me. This is a story. There was a man who owned some property on the outskirts of town, and he took his boy with him one day and said, look, I want you to chop weeds in this part of our property. I'll be back for you after a while. The little boy was chopping weeds on his father's property, and there were some businessmen across the way walking off land for future development. In the process of walking through the woods, they got turned around and couldn't get back to the city. So they yelled across the way to the little boy, which way to the city? And the little boy said, oh, the city's that way. And they started walking, and the little boy said, wait, come back, I'm sorry. The city's that way. And finally, one of the businessmen said, oh, why don't you all leave that little boy alone? Can't you tell that little boy is lost? And the little boy said, no, I'm not lost. I'm where I'm supposed to be. My father told me to work this part of the field. The businessman said, but you don't even know how to get to the city. The little boy said, that's because I'm not going to the city. But I'm not lost. I am where I'm supposed to be, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with what the Lord has given to me. Oh, this person with one talent, he focused too much on what he did not have and not enough on what the Lord had granted unto him. You know, he went around saying, you know, I wouldn't mind having this one little measly talent if I didn't have to be around others who had been given so much more. If I could be in a different environment, if I could be in a different milieu, I wouldn't mind using this. But he was not being truthful to life. For there will never come a time in your life when everything is just like you want it to be. If you are waiting for things to get just right before you use what God hath given you, you never will do anything. In this life, we have to learn to play the hand that life deals us. Oh, yes, we'd all like a handful of jacks and queens and kings and aces and jokers and deuces. But the truth of the matter is that somebody's got to get some threes, fours, and fives. But when you get a bad hand, learn how to keep a straight face. For this is what you need to know. The God you serve is in charge of the shuffle. Now, it may not be the hand you prefer, but it is a playable hand. So use what God has given to you. If you are here this morning and you have hid your talent in the earth, you wonderful, gifted, talented, intelligent, loving, kind people, if you are here this morning and you've hid your talent in the earth, go now. Go at once. Go as you are and dig it up. Dig it up and use what God hath given to you. Dig it up before the master returns. Dig it up while it is still day. Dig it up and use it to the honor and glory of God. Dig it up and use it as witness to the rule and reign of God upon this earth and in your life. Go and dig up what God has blessed you with, and you in turn use it to bless the world. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Our morning hymn, I'm told, is 668, and that is what we shall sing. Are you able to stand, you wonderful people?